If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello. Before I begin today's show, I want to tell you about a live show I'm doing at this year's Dublin Fringe called Clankety Clank. I'm partnering up with Headstuff and Sissy.pod to create an Irish version of the iconic Snatch Game from RuPaul's Drag Race. It's a completely improvised comedy quiz show with your favorite performers from this show doing their best celebrity impressions. It's going to be a lot of fun. You do not want to miss it. That's Clankety Clank this September at Smock Alley. Tickets are available now from FringeFest.com. Do not wait. Get yours today. Thanks. Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in. Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week, we're talking about disappearing Dublin buses. Linda, you were waiting for a bus this morning and it never arrived. What happened?
I was standing at the bus stop, had my thumb out. Front and centre, and I could see the bus coming down the road.
What number was it?
The 43.
Oh, the 43, yeah. And break your heart. Go on.
So it was, mere moments away from me. I locked eyes with the driver and then it just evaporated.
It vanished before your eyes?
Before my eyes.
Okay, so that is unusual because I've been at a bus stop where it counts down, it's coming in 3 minutes, coming in 2 minutes, coming in 1 minute, and it's gone. And it just doesn't show up, okay? Well, I've never seen one actually vanish before my eyes.
And the biggest problem with it, Dave, is that after it evaporated, I turned my back to look up the road because I was like, did I miss it? And it appeared about a kilometer and a half down the road.
Right. So it's like it disappeared out of this reality or dimension briefly. And by the time it reappeared, it had flown past you.
Right past the bus stop, yeah.
That's very frustrating. I have someone on the line who's a magician. Sorry, what's your name, sir?
Hello, it's me, Fabio.
Fabio, the magician. Fabio, it's good to hear from you again.
And thank you so much, Dave. Yes, I was listening in. I heard people are talking about my work.
Oh, you made the bus disappear.
Yes, it's a part of a native campaign for promotion of my new Big Magic Show.
Okay, how come there was nobody around when this, except for Linda here?
Well, we do it at every stop in the city of Dublin, Dave.
Okay, so this bus is a disappearing right before it hits every bus stop.
Exactly, Dave.
Ah, and you must be really annoying people with that, are you?
I am, Dave, but hey, you're talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got me. You got on our show promoting your little magic show. What's the story with the show then? Tell me about the show.
So, Dave, we have booked out the Ivy Gardens for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Where we will have a magic show every night of the night, Dave. Every night of the night.
Every night of the night.
And people will pay tickets, they'll come along and they'll see me make things disappear, reappear. I do things with animals, I do things with jerky people.
Buses, is there going to be buses in the Ivy Garden?
No, there'll be no buses in the Ivy Gardens. There's no roads. But the promotional campaign will be...
I know there's no roads in the Ivy Garden. I mean, you could still get a bus into the Ivy Garden. I mean, you're a magician, you know.
You see, yes, I guess I could, but I will not be doing that because he's not cleared by Dublin City Council.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. But you have been cleared to work with Dublin Bus to make these buses disappear?
Absolutely, Dave.
Okay.
So they say, hey, we want you to have free reign in the city. We want you to go around the city, make everything disappear, and then make it reappear.
Okay.
And as long as it comes back, they say they have no problem.
Okay, well, I want to bring on a bus driver, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Ronnie, you were on this 43 bus that was disappearing and reappearing, it seems, throughout the route. What were you experiencing when the bus disappeared?
I can only describe it as sort of kind of going into some sort of parallel dimension.
Parallel dimension.
Okay.
And what I saw was time itself folding in on itself. Every moment of my life was surrounding me, but every moment of everybody's lives. And I mean moments that haven't even happened yet, Dave.
Oh, past and future.
Past and future.
Right.
Yeah, time, I've seen it. I've seen it in front of me, and I feel like... Everything is happening all at once, Dave. And nice. Then I popped back and I was back on the street.
That must be a little
now,
bit...
Now, don't give away the secret.
No, I don't think I can.
That must be disorientating for you as a bus driver. How do you feel about being asked to participate in this?
Well, this is the thing, Dave. I was not asked.
Okay, right.
Don't give away the secret.
Well, I don't think he knows the secret,
I don't know the secret. I literally blacked out for a second, woke up, and it was... did you ever see that film Interstellar?
I haven't seen it.
Well, there's a bit where he's floating around at the end.
Okay.
He's looking
at spoilers.
Everything.
No spoilers.
All right, look, that's been there for a while. All right.
Let's go back to this fold in time, because you saw things that haven't happened yet, and you saw things that weren't necessarily just your life. They were everybody's life.
Basically, I have now a vast knowledge of the world. It's the entire... I have a knowledge of now the creation of the world, the universe... Right. And everything that comes to an end.
Okay.
Eventually, everything kind of turns back into darkness, and it all starts again. And this is just a cyclical thing that just happens over and over and over. And I saw every iteration, infinite iterations of this.
Right. Can you, I don't know, tell us anything?
Dave, okay.
You know, like something.
What do you want to know?
I don't know. Something interesting about the future.
But no spoilers.
Well, it's very difficult not to have spoilers.
Yeah.
Did you see anything about my life?
This is Linda, by the way. She was waiting for the 43
bus. Oh, I saw you, Linda. We locked eyes.
Yes.
That's right, I remember. Linda, I did actually see what happened to you.
It's not good, is it?
It's not good, no.
No.
Can we get some spoilers? Do you want spoilers, Linda?
No spoilers, Dave!
Come on, Fabio.
Fabio,
you put this man through.
You cursed me with the sight of seeing how everyone I know and love dies. I know how everything happens for the next infinite years. What did you do to me, Fabio? And get this out of my bloody head.
The only spoiler I want, Dave, is if you could say that that make you feel more or less inclined to come see a magic show in the Ivy Gardens.
I mean,
I'm... intrigued.
I think you're intrigued.
Oh my god.
Because that seems quite powerful. Like that's beyond just, an illusion.
It's the exact opposite of power, Dave. I'm cursed. I feel myself withering away. I can feel every cell in my body slowly die.
Yeah, no. I didn't really mean that you were powerful, Ronnie. I more so meant that Fabio is powerful to have been able to put you through that in a way.
Would you not be impressed by my power?
I mean, I guess so, yeah. I mean, I guess
this is impressive. I think we can end it here.
I really want to hear more about what's going to happen to Linda, though.
I don't think Linda needs to know.
Linda, I saw something terrible. And actually, Fabio, this involves you.
I don't think Linda needs to know about these days.
Wait, do you know how Linda's going to die as well?
I have created the Time Sports Portal. I know exactly how everything will happen.
All of time.
How do you deal with this knowledge?
I put it in my show. Also, I like to run.
Oh, just to kind of get out of your head?
Just get out of my head. Yeah. It's really good for depression, Dave.
Yeah, it's good. You should give that a go, Ronnie, if you're feeling a bit low.
I don't know if I can.
Get out of your head for like half an hour. Just go.
What am I running to?
You could run. You could run for a bus.
Run on down to the Ivy Gardens for this magic show.
Ivy Gardens every night. Once a night, every night.
Is there anything I can do to prevent this bad thing? Maybe I could be the hero.
There's nothing you can do. Everything is going to happen as it happens. You've already killed
Fabio.
You've already killed Fabio, and he's already killed you. That's already happened.
Unfortunately, but not for a while yet.
It's going to happen, though.
Now, is that related to this?
No spoilers.
Is this double murder related to this phone call?
It's not a double murder. If I murder her and she murder me, it's not double murder.
Isn't it?
No, that's one murder each.
At the same time.
Yeah, two murders is a double murder.
No, but if somebody did a double murder.
I killed... two people, I would have a double murder in my hands.
Sorry, you're dead right.
I would go down as having killed one person.
Yeah,
go down
okay, so are these two murders,
two murders related
to this call we're having?
Everything's
here.
Related, Dave. Everything's connected.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Dave. Don't patronize me. I have the knowledge of the universe in my brain, Dave.
All right.
Because of this magician, Fabio. And I want him to get it out of my head.
Okay, Linda, how does it feel to know that you're going to murder Fabio and then be murdered in return?
There's something about it that just feels just, you know?
On both counts?
I mean, the moment I heard his voice on the phone, I thought, I am going to slay that man at some stage. It did feel like that. I do feel a kind of murderous instincts, as though...
Generally, or just...
I have been having dreams, yes. Okay. I have been having dreams of running after a man in a cape on a jog.
No, I should say, this doesn't happen for another 25 years.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a good bit of a gap there now.
Yeah. Some time.
I don't want to spoil anything, so you keep going.
So, I've been having dreams of following this man. He's running, he's poofing in and out of different places, but I know where he's going because I've done my research, you see.
Okay. So, Fabio, is this her dreams? Or are they visions from the same...
I think what is happening now, Dave, is that she is getting glimpses into both the past and the future at the same time.
Yeah.
They are not dreams, they are very much reality.
Was this due to her proximity to the bus?
It is exactly because of that, okay. Dave, yes. Right. Unfortunately, I am a very good magician who will be performing in the Ivy Gardens every night.
Every night of the night
for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I cannot get the spasmodic field around my tricks to shrink. So those that are caught up in the polarity of it, they certainly will develop some sort of knowledge of their own impending fate.
Yes, I have noticed around Dublin lately a lot more fires and people attacking strangers in the streets.
That's because of me.
Terror generally.
That is generally because
of me. So that's all because of these people who are in the proximity of the 43
when
bus.
When the bus was passing them and then they disappeared and they're like, where'd my bus go? Yeah. And then it comes back. And then Eddie Rockets on Dame Street is on fire.
Okay, yeah. And Dublin Bus are cool with this. They don't...
Clearly with the head of Dublin Bus, but not necessarily every driver.
Yeah, well, clearly not every driver. Ronnie's not
every driver. Well, one driver, I know.
My life's a misery, Fabio.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can do for me? Is there anything you can give me or do to change
Are you saying, would you like me to make your sadness disappear?
I would love that.
No.
You can't?
Unfortunately, I cannot reach inside people's brains. I can only affect their external perception of their reality. But what I can do is recommend a very good psychologist.
Okay.
We'll
put you on. Put you in touch with him.
Well, does he have knowledge of space-time continuum or?
No, it mostly works with children. But I will be honest: the way your brain is now perceiving things is going to be rotting until you have basically brain of the child.
Oh my God, Dave! This is
that.
Can be refreshing.
You've
got Benjamin Button.
Wouldn't it be nice to go back and see the world through the eyes of a child once again?
Wouldn't it?
I guess.
It's an opportunity. You probably won't be able to drive the bus anymore.
It seems like, I can't drive. I can't do anything anymore, Dave. I'm sitting here in my living room just... Nothing makes sense. Every show I turn on, I know the ending. Every film I watch, I know the ending.
That is annoying.
Every single person I see, I know their ending.
Wow.
How does Dave end?
Feels like
how does Dave end?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, it's horrifying.
Oh really?
No spoilers.
God, what? It's
no spoilers.
A very unfortunate group of people at this table, or not on this phone call.
Who else is with you, Dave?
Who's at your table?
Well,
aren't we all everywhere at once?
Oh God, we are. Yeah, time and space is everything, and everything is happening all at the same time.
I feel like you could maybe make money out of this.
What the hell am I going to do with money?
Like,
what do I do with money? I have the knowledge of the universe.
Yeah.
What is that going to do for me?
Yeah.
Money dies.
Yeah.
Well, money doesn't die.
Money doesn't sleep.
No, money never
sleeps. What about my own? Death, then.
I don't know, Dave.
Can you tell me about it?
You were in debt, Dave?
No, death.
Oh, get out of debt. Well, I would say you get out of debt anyway. That's one thing I can say for certain.
Oh,
you get out of debt.
Good to know. Just been spending like crazy.
I know, Dave.
You said you were very wealthy.
You need to take it easy, all right? Spending. Do you really want to know how it all ends?
Yeah.
Today? Well, it's a double murder. You're killed. Not once, but twice, Dave.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, are they two separate...
Yeah.
Right.
I I don't think you need to go any further.
I have made a lot of enemies.
I've made a lot of enemies.
I listen to your program all the time, Dave. A lot of people don't like you.
After they come on the show.
Yeah.
So that's not hugely shocking to me. And it is nice to know that at least I will not survive the first murder, because obviously I do die but come back.
Yeah,
somehow.
There is a sort of a. It's complicated.
I would say watch your back and your front at the same time, because it's a double murder, but you're murdered twice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By two people at the same time.
At the same time?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Back and front.
They didn't know each other or anything.
I didn't know.
It's remarkable.
Didn't plan it.
They plan it ahead or anything. It's remarkable.
And it is also worth mentioning, according to the Aeneid, you die first when you no longer cease to be. And you die the second time, the last time someone ever says your name.
Ah, okay.
So if you were to be murdered in your corporeal form.
Yes.
And then you, I suppose if you kill everyone who ever would say your name.
Right.
You die twice.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so no, somebody just shoots you. Two people just shoot you from two different angles.
Oh, it's just that?
It's just that. It's nothing to do with that.
But from what you're saying, through this podcast, which I assume will just
live forever.
Yeah,
you will be imprinted on a golden disc and sent to space.
Then I will never die.
Correct.
Twice, or the second death.
Well, that's what you think, Dave, but I think me and...
Say my name.
Ronnie?
Go on, say it.
Me and Ronnie definitely know how you will die.
Okay, all right. Oh, listen, then.
Are you going to get any free tickets to that?
Yes, me too. Can I also get a free ticket?
There's literally, I have 100 comps to give out. No one
I'll take one of those comps.
All right, one for you.
I'll take
two. Can you run a competition? Two for you? Run a competition, Dave?
No, just for me.
Just four? Yeah. Okay, four tickets.
I feel like you got a lot of plugs out of the show. You don't need me running competitions.
Yeah, yeah. You want to come Saturday? Monday?
I'm actually bus driving on Saturday.
You drive a bus on Saturday.
I'm doing one last.
They're letting you drive a bus again.
One last time.
Okay. All right, sorry. So what day do you want to take?
What are the days of the month?
Well, every day, every night.
Every night of the month. Listen, we can clear this up after. We don't need to go into the details.
I actually already know what day I pick. That's the thing.
You already know, yeah, because you know everything.
I do.
I'm going to move on to some other calls now. Brett is on the line. Brett, you lost your towel, is that right?
Hey, yeah, I lost my towel.
Where are you from, Brett?
What am I going to do about it?
Where are you from, Brett?
I'm from Finglas.
Finglas, okay. So you've lost your towel. Did you lose it in Finglas?
Yeah, in one of the sea swimming.
Sea swimming pools in Finglas.
Yeah, one of those pesky kids. He come and he take my towel.
Oh, that is so annoying. Right. So you're there now, and you've no towel. Are you just after getting out of the water, Brett?
Yeah. Well, the police are on their way. I only went down in a towel, so now I'm just a grown man naked by the sea.
Oh, okay. So the police aren't coming to look for your towel. They're coming to arrest you, probably, I'd say, are they?
I mean, yeah. But hopefully they bring us some pants.
Yeah, well, they'll definitely cover you up when they take you away, I'd say. I don't know if we can do much for you. Let's just see. There's someone else on the line. Mary, you're in Finglas as well. Did you see someone take the towel?
Hello, Dave. I didn't see anyone take the towel,
right,
necessarily, but I know it has been a problem for the area of late.
Oh, towel theft.
Towel theft, as it's called.
Yes. And is this common to do it to nude swimmers like Brett?
Well, I will say they're not entirely welcomed in the area. And we have...
Oh, nude swimming.
Nude swimming.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit untoward.
Yeah.
And so we have been trying... someone has been stealing towels.
Right.
And it might just make people who are going nude swimming think twice about...
Okay, so you're not mixed up in this though, are you, Mary?
Nope.
Right, because you did say we earlier. I thought maybe you might be...
I'm half French, Dave.
Yeah, you might be involved with a group of neighbors who are trying to put a stop to this kind of thing.
No,
no,
Brett, none.
Did you see anyone?
I did see a group of women by the sea with the tidy towns high vis.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay.
We're always out on the beach, Dave.
So it was you.
Nope.
No, you were there, though.
I'm saying we are always out in force. We're always trying to keep the beach as clean as possible.
Okay, well, I want to bring on Loretta, another member of the Tidy Towns Committee in Findus.
Hello, Loretta. How are you?
Hello, Mary.
I have your dish. Could you please come over and collect it?
I will, of course. I'll come over just after this call.
That is absolutely fine.
Did you see anything?
I did not, Dave. No, I will say we were on the beach. We were on the beach. We go there every day. They're in our high vis.
Yeah.
And I did see a gentleman, if you can call it that, running everything out.
Yeah.
Everything. Flapping, everything. Slapping.
Yeah.
Everything.
This is Brett you're talking about.
I assume it's Brett. Yeah. I didn't catch the man's name.
And we feel very bad that Brett had to endure that.
But that's all I saw, Dave, I'll be honest with you. So I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, you know, I've heard of people just, they get, I mean, I'm not saying this is what Brett is doing, but some people get their kicks out of accosting people on the beach with their new body.
Right, Loretta.
I think you guys are the ones accosting. I saw you taking pictures of me. Mary, you say,
for the police, for the calendar.
For the calendar. No, you're getting it mixed up now. We take pictures of the sea every day.
That's right.
You see quite a lot every day with your camera. Hey.
Your English is very good now, I will say. Now that.
Brett, I will say this. You're the one that's kind of exposing yourself publicly.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you have much recourse here. If Mary wants to take photos of the sea.
And you happen to be standing in front of it with your wanger out.
I'm just a part of the landscape. I'm just part of the nature.
You're not a part of the landscape now.
Your wanger is not a part of the landscape now, Brett.
I go into the sea. I become one with nature. I pose for your photos. Sometimes you give me money, you take my towel.
Posing is the problem. Yeah. We set up our camera, we take a picture, you jump into frame. Wanger, full mast.
Wanger is at full tilt.
And you expect us horrifying. Then to just move on with our lives.
What's wrong with my wanger?
It's
beautiful, it's nature, darling.
Well, I wouldn't call that nature. Would you, Mary? I call that.
It is a natural thing, though.
In what way, Dave?
In what way?
Well,
in
what way? The human form.
There's an erect wanger.
Oh, when you say full mast, you're talking about.
Yes, I didn't even have to spell it out for you, Dave.
Now you've done it, Dave.
But now you've done it.
We'll say it. Now that you want to dance around it. Yes. Brett was. Erect. Yes, Dave.
It was erect.
Wanger
was absolutely at full blood.
Okay, how do you respond to that then, Brett? Because that does seem unfortunate.
Is it to help me swim? I go full mast.
Oh my god.
Mast. I attach a rudder little sail to it.
It's a rudder, is it?
Yes.
I suppose you want one of us
to move faster.
Oh, I bet that's what's next, Brett.
Against the riptide.
The riptide movement.
Wait. So, does it help you to swim faster or act as a kind of a drag to stop?
It's an anchor, is it?
It's both. It depends if I lie on my back or my front.
Of course, if you're working with the tide or against the tide.
I go out there with the guys on the jet skis, you know, and sometimes I go just as fast as them.
Look, are the police there yet, Brett?
They're coming. I see them? I see other lights.
I hope they're the only ones coming.
I don't see a patch.
Right? Loretta, am I right?
Are you still at full mast now?
Unfortunately, the adrenaline of the situation has made it hard for me to...
Yeah.
Can you believe this, Dave? Can you believe it on our beach?
Not going to help you with the police.
Yes.
So, what?
I just want to say, just again, I'm neither confirming nor denying any involvement in the removal of a towel.
Yes, the towel thing has nothing to do with.
Yes. Just before the police arrive, I want to make that
very clear. Myself and Mary had nothing to do with the towel.
Well,
we're taking pictures of the sea.
I'm sure the police will want to talk to you after they've spoken to Brett.
That's going to be so unfortunate because we're going to be gone. We have to go to a man.
You have to go to a man?
Yes. We have to go to a man, unfortunately.
What man?
Unfortunately, Dave, he's a man who sells us. Vintage scarves.
Okay.
And they're very beautiful.
All right.
Maybe you should think about that. Maybe you should have a couple of vintage scarves.
Maybe wrap your hands around you.
Maybe cut.
You will?
What?
Yes, around my neck. But keep my...
Oh, that's not what I want.
I'm standing in the water, Dave, so the police cannot arrest me.
No, interestingly,
that's not how that works.
International waters, I've looked it up.
No, several kilometers off our Irish coast.
I asked the jet ski guys, they say it's legit.
And where were they from?
Portmarnock.
Oh,
no. They would know.
No, what do you mean? You could never trust a Partmanogi in that.
Is that how you say it?
Yes,
absolutely.
Partmanogian?
Partmanogian.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, look, Brett, if you do stay in the water and at a distance, it'll definitely make it difficult for the police to get you out, you know, because they're probably not going to...
They're very afraid of the water.
Yeah, they're very afraid of the water, famously. So look, I'm sorry you lost your tail. It doesn't look like we're going to get any help from these ladies. I wish you the best of luck. Thank you for phoning it in.
Thank you, Dave.
See you later, Greta.
See you soon, Mary.
Soon.
Yeah. Bye.
As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
This is how it's always been.
Double Love is a podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. Join me, Anna Carey.
And me, Karen Moynihan.
As we revisit one of the maddest series of books ever written or ghostwritten.
If you ever read about Elizabeth and Jessica, the perfect blonde Wakefield twins, then you might enjoy listening to us absolutely tearing them to shreds. Affectionately, of course.
Of course. And even if you didn't, there's still plenty of drama, kidnapping, stolen boyfriends and school dances to entertain you.
Find us on the Headstuff Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a fan of this show and you'd like to support it, please come and see our Dublin Fringe show in September at Smock Alley. It's a collaboration between this podcast and another Headstuff podcast called Sissy That Pod. The show is called Clankety Clank, and it's like an Irish version of the Snatch Game from RuPaul's Drag Race. It's an improvised quiz show format with lots of the regular guests from this show who'll be doing their best celebrity impressions. It's going to be hilarious. Tickets are available now at fringefest.com. Get them now before they're gone. And you can check out the show notes or the link in our social media bios for more details. My guest joining me in the studio today is the former mob boss of New Jersey, Tony Carboni. He turned state witness on his fellow mob bosses and now lives in the witness protection program. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dave.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good,
yeah.
To be honest. Yeah.
Now, your accent strikes me straight away. It's not what I would expect of a New Jersey mob boss. Is that to do with the witness protection program?
I can neither confirm nor deny now, Dave, if I'm totally honest.
Right. But you
can, thanks for having me on the program.
You can confirm that you are Tony Carboni.
Tony Carboni.
Head, former head of the New Jersey Mafia.
Yes, that is correct, Dave.
And you did testify against the heads of the five families in New York.
I did do that, yes, in court.
Why did you do that?
Basically to save my own skin, Dave.
Yeah, okay, so it's a classic thing. The FBI had you.
The FBI had me, they had my son, and they said, on the one condition that we let you go, you can never use your actual accent ever again.
Oh, that was part of it.
That was unfortunately part of it.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I think they're trying to come up with, the term is cruel and unusual punishment, Dave.
Okay, even though you're not going to jail.
I'm not going to jail, but they think that this alone is sort of a torture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does it bother you?
It doesn't. Well, yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does, because, again, I still live in New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm still living in New Jersey.
Interesting.
In witness protection, they moved me from Newark to Trenton.
Okay.
And that's all that happened.
Right.
And so are
you not in danger of giving out your where you're living? That
I didn't give my home address.
No, no. But obviously the mob has connections, particularly if you're still in New Jersey.
But no mob boss in New Jersey is listening to an Irish radio show, and nor is any mob boss New Jersey looking for a kind of strangely pert South Dublin man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you say they're not listening to the show, but unfortunately...
Oh, dear God, Dave, please don't tell me you've done this.
Yeah, a fellow mob boss, Frankie the Nose, is calling from the Federal Correctional Institution in Connecticut.
That is me.
Frankie, do you have anything you want to say to Tony?
Tony, I am going to... kill you as soon as I get my hands around your neck.
You're from the federal correction?
That's right. And the feds got me.
And you're going to kill me?
Yeah.
Why Well, I'll just make sure you stay in prison then, I suppose. Can I rat out you more?
Well, I imagine Frankie has ways and means, you know, that he is...
I know people, Dave.
He knows people outside of prison. I mean, this is why I was mm-hmm. wary of you giving out, not your address, but your the city you live in, at least.
Hmm. Yeah, all great information, Dave. You've been a great help yeah. to me and the lads.
All right, now, Dave, hang on a second. Actually, Dave, I think we're going to have to bounce, probably. I'm probably going to have to head off.
Oh, what difference does it make?
It's too late now. You
too
might
late
as
now.
Well
you might as well stay on the
stay
call.
On the call
no, I think
Tony.
Actually, I think I might actually...
Face the
on.
Music here. Come
go on.
On,
have a chat.
I might go to another...
Go on, have a chat.
Well, hang on, but before you go, Frankie,
yes.
you also do not sound like a
very observant of you, Dave.
Italian mob boss
no,
from New York.
I am not.
What have you also been forced to not
That's
use?
Right, Dave.
Right, okay.
The court order. They said put on just kind of a not really discernible accent, but just kind of pitch yourself a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I have to do, Dave. I cannot.
You
use...
do kind of sound Irish as well, though.
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. You guys didn't have the same accent coach or anything?
No accent coach necessarily.
They don't give you a coach. They yeah. actually just say,
no, they just say have at it.
Have at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They make it your own.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, stay on the line, Tony.
You're a dead man.
I don't
You're a dead
think
man, Tony.
I will,
You're
Dave.
A dead man.
I'm
I am
honestly
going to
very.
Kill you.
I know you will now, but I'm very, very busy, and I might just have to head.
Stay on You're the line, man, Tony.
I got to bounce,
chat.
Dave. I got to
bounce.
Come
on, Tony. Have a chat.
Well, look, you
Come
might
on.
Want to talk to this next caller because it's Special Agent Marissa Sterling, who was the one who convinced you to flip and turn state's witness. Special Agent Sterling. Marissa, welcome
What's
to the
story,
show.
Marissa,
how are you doing, Dave?
Right, so you're an American FBI agent.
I've been working on the FBI for like 7 years, just right. absolutely sending them to prison.
Oh yeah, great. Now again, your accent is not one that I would expect from an FBI agent.
What people find here is that people just trust the Irish accent more. There's just something about the lilt of it that people just listen to.
Right, okay.
So that would have been day one of my training, and I actually told Tony to just watch some Fair City, watch some...
Fade Street.
Fade Street, especially Fade Street, yeah. I would say.
Yeah.
And just get immersed in the culture, and people just, you know, as soon as he starts talking, they'll be like, no. And they'll just kind of leave.
Amazing. So, did you use this accent to, I suppose, lure people like Tony in the first place to kind of lull them into a false sense of security? Then,
absolutely drop their defenses down, be like, here, mate. I know you're just having the crack. I know you're only, you know, supporting your family or whatever. But I'm going to need you to come on side with me. Because there's four other families that aren't as much crack as you are. So what do you say? We team up and...
take them down.
Take them down.
All right. What kind of stuff was Tony doing before you... flipped them.
I don't think we need to declare that on air at all.
Well, we don't
I actually
have
think it's kind
to.
Of inappropriate.
Interesting. Yeah.
I know, but it's actually probably still going through the courts.
No,
Marissa?
You're in witness protection now and you're living
yeah,
your
but
life.
I think
yeah,
just
I'm
probably
in jail.
I think well, the fact that I'm in
I mean, you're in witness protection, bro.
So I suppose what's the worst that can happen, you're right.
Yeah, go for it.
Dave, can I Is there any way I can leave?
No, you said you were going to come on this show.
I know. Just I've got more things to watch to kind of, you know.
You can tell us or Marissa can tell us.
I'm more than happy to chime in here, Dave.
I think maybe if me and Marissa could have a chat privately.
Like a sidebar?
Maybe, or like we'll hang up and we'll get back. And
no,
we'll,
you
yeah.
have a sidebar there. I'll
you're
mute
gonna,
us.
You're going to mute that?
Yeah.
Mute you does not mean...
We'll turn off our
ears,
headphones.
Okay, all right.
And all right. We won't be able to hear what you're talking about.
That's fine. Okay,
yeah, okay.
Just give us like 2 hours.
Go.
Marissa. Sorry. Marissa.
Yes, Tony.
What the hell are you doing here?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to get him off the scent, okay?
We're not... This ain't gonna work, Marissa.
This ain't gonna work.
They're so close to figuring us out. There's no chance.
I wasn't even gonna mention the decapitation.
You're saying it right now. I feel like it's at the top of your tongue. I feel like you're gonna. At the first question, you're gonna start talking about it.
Hey, I'm not. It's not like he's gonna say, "Hey, Marissa, what happened?" I'm gonna say, "Hey, shot 4 or 5."
What?
Young people.
Young people. That's the best you can pitch it. Say they were like 3 people in a trench coat.
It's hard because you were so good at the face shooting.
I know, I was so good.
It was beautiful.
I tell you, Marissa,
like
every goddamn day I missed the face shooting.
Guys, I got to jump back in there.
Sorry, Dave.
I just wanted to interrupt your sidebar for a second because we are running out of time.
That's absolutely fine,
Dave.
I
don't let you go until
you shooting, right.
We hear more about what you did. Marissa, maybe you'd fill us in on what Tony did.
Well, I won't get into specifics, but the main thing is that obviously there's 5 families and every family kind of had their sort of signature thing, signature violence thing. So the DiCaprios.
You can please, Marissa.
Well, no, go ahead, Marissa. Let's hear it.
Well, we'll start with the Puccios. They would spear. Yes, they would spear dogs.
Spear dogs. Yeah, Dave.
to what end?
Right through both.
It was their thing.
Yeah.
It was their calling card, and honestly, some phenomenal branding because I think the Puccio is probably one of the most prolific. Still selling T-shirts to this day.
What about Frankie the Nose over here? What does his family get up to?
They'd chop off people's noses and hide them around the city.
Yeah.
Then, if you found them, you could keep them.
It was a geocache, Dave.
Yeah.
A geocache.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while. What does that mean again?
It's you Google kind of different locations of where these things are held around cities. They're kind of hidden and kind of secret locations. You go around, you find them, you post them online. It's kind of a great day out, Dave.
Cool. And obviously, cutting someone's nose off, highly illegal.
Yeah, well, it spites their face.
One of the worst. One of the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what were you getting out of that? Were you making money off the geocache?
Just a sick pleasure.
Are you making money off the geocache?
No. We just did it for whatever it's called. Pleasure. We just loved it.
I'm so glad. Oh. In prison, Dave.
Right, well, so we've talked
good
about
good luck to you, because you're going to be seeing me very soon.
Why is that now?
Because there's people on the way to your house right now.
But then I won't see you, I'll see them.
They're going to set up a Zoom.
I won't accept the invite.
They're going to make you accept the invite. Sorry.
Oh, that's what's going to happen. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it was lovely talking to you, I suppose, then.
It's not been nice talking to you.
Well, stay on the line, guys, because we've learned about Frankie the Nose, what his family did, and we've learned about everyone knows about the Puccio family because of their amazing merchandise that they have. But what we still haven't learned about what Tony Carboni's.
Dave, if I'm honest, I really got to get back to watching my shows. I've got Fade Street. I just need to get this accent perfect. A bit of Dan and Beck's, maybe classic.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I heard.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it's really just to perfect the accent, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Carbonis, it's in the name, really, isn't it? Sort of took very intimate images with cars mostly.
Right.
And then left them on the people that they'd killed.
So they took photographs of themselves in intimate situations with cars. And then would leave them on the bodies of their victims.
You can see how they were so easy to catch.
Yeah.
Pictures of themselves, intimate situations with
Tony,
cars.
Why did you do that?
Objectophilia is a recognized mental disorder in the DSM. And unfortunately, sometimes when you fall into, with the wrong crowd, that being your family, you can be kind of encouraged to do things in a way that, a normal, an average person wouldn't do. And sometimes when you need to keep the crime, the alternative aspects of your income,
business
going, and you're also a human with urges, you have to make the two work.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that did mean, yes, there were photos taken of people having intimate time with cars.
Yeah.
Because cars are I think we can all agree. Do you have a car, Dave?
I don't, but they can be very attractive objects, exactly. Aesthetically pleasing.
You don't own a car at all?
I don't have a car.
Did you ever own a car?
No.
Marissa, ever own a car?
I have. I always thought it was a metaphor for like capitalism in America or something.
The car was.
Yeah, and then you were, because you know, the Fordist model, the breadwinner model, mm-hmm. and I thought mm-hmm. you shagging the car was like you.
Don't use that. Yeah,
fuck America, mm-hmm. you know, like that's what I thought it was.
That's it. But yeah, no, you've actually, no. That's exactly what it was.
But
yeah,
now
Marissa,
that you
no, you've
say
actually,
it,
you've said it. No, it was a real,
it
was a real political. No, Marissa, you're absolutely
now,
right. It was a perfect.
When we apprehended him originally, there were many parts found in his bed and just around the area. So it makes complete sense that actually you were just following your desires. And I'm not kink shaming. I'm not saying any of that.
Well, just to go back to something you were saying earlier, Tony, you asked me, did I ever own a car? What if, let's assume that I owned a Mini Cooper.
Yeah. You know, you'd probably be fond of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you give it like a nickname or?
Maybe. If it was a Mini Cooper, I might, you know.
Call it like Sarah
Mini
or Denise or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know. Every day you'd need to drive.
One thing leads to another.
You'd get inside Denise, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be inside
true.
Denise every goddamn day, right, Dave?
Yeah.
So you just tell me, what's the big difference there? You put all of yourself into it every day, but you put one bit of yourself into it for maybe 5 minutes, and then it's suddenly a huge issue.
It's different. I mean, it's like one.
I fail to see how that.
What
is
a sexual act? The other is just like a utility. You know, like just using.
What is sex but a utility, Dave?
That's a good point.
What is the purpose of sex but to have children or fulfill a need?
Utilitarian need. Yeah,
because you know, if a man doesn't climax twice a week, he'll get ball cancer, Dave. I think we've all learned that.
Yeah, and Frankie, did you have sex with cars?
And Frankie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I just realized, Dave, did you say that Tony was in the studio with you today? I'm on his way to his house.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on his way to his house. I'm an absolute bonehead. I forgot at the beginning that you said he's in the studio. He's in the studio.
Now I feel.
Oh,
lucky.
My God. I'm such a dummy. Yeah. Anyway, listen. Forget about it. You know what?
Forget about it.
Hey, forget about it.
Like the state beside us.
Forget about it.
What are our New Jersey terms? Remember those ones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, what is that?
Who are you?
You've accidentally used your accents there, which is in violation.
Oh, the guards are on the way.
It's in violation of your parole, I think.
Oh, no, Dave. Oh, I walk right into that one. Oh, jeez.
Oh, hey, I might as well use it. He is coming towards me. They're coming to get me.
Dave, I got to bounce. I'm so sorry. I got to go watch Dan and Bex.
Okay. Get working on that accent. I'm afraid we are out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Clara de Bruin, Stephen Bradley, and Ronan Carey. Guys, do you have anyone to plug, Clara?
No.
Nothing to plug at the moment?
Yeah, I plug Primordial Views, my podcast with James Moran, our comedy podcast. Very intermittent publishing times, but it still exists and still going.
You know, that's how it should be.
It should be, yeah. It's a lot of work to make an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And then if anyone's in Edinburgh, I'll be with Dream Gun Film Reads. We're doing two shows every night for all of Edinburgh.
The whole of the Fringe.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we're doing film reads every night.
Every night.
All night, every night. All night, every night.
Every night of the night.
Every night of the night.
And the Dublin Fringe as well.
And Dublin Fringe, yeah. So we're doing Dream Gun video in the Dublin Fringe. Yeah.
Great. Steve?
Yeah, Mob Theatre Dublin. It's the improv shows every Thursday. Improv and weird alti stuff every Thursday in Wigwam. Going to mobtheatre.ie for classes. Because we do classes. We're going to start new classes in the end of August, beginning of September. I don't know when this comes out. Maybe it's after that.
It's the start of August, yeah.
Yeah, perfect time to buy something for a loved one.
Before the end of... at the start of autumn.
Yeah. Before the schools are back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good chance to get a class in there.
Just get a class in right before the kids are like...
If you're getting jealous of your kids going to school, you're I'm doing something.
God, they're having a great time now. Anything else is...
I'll briefly plug Clankety Clank, which is our show in the Fringe. It's like an Irish version of the Snatch Game. Steve's going to be joining us for one of the shows. Get your tickets now on fringefest.com.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Thanks to the Head Stuff Podcast Network for having us and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Forget about it.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.